And we're going to bring an issue that perhaps isn't necessarily on all the front pages of the news, but I think of newspapers, but I do think it needs your attention. So the Department of Health is embarking on a program to allow some pharmacists holding required permits to prescribe and initiate HIV medicines without people having to first get scripts from doctors or nurses. The initiative is known as Pharmacist Initiated Management of Antiretroviral Treatment, or PIMART, and it seeks to improve the linkage to HIV treatment and prevention therapy among underreached and underserved groups and communities. The doctors, of course, are up in arms about this, and they're saying, hang on, you're oversimplifying what is a reasonably complex process, and it may not be good for the patients. Let's start with Mogolohelo Phahla, who is the president of the South African Pharmacy Council, who joins us now. And we'll hear, of course, from the president of the we'll hear from an HIV clinician and board member of the African Viral Care Society. Welcome to our show, and thank you for your time, Mogolohelo Phahla.
Thank you very much, Bongani.
Can you explain the rationale behind this proposal and why you think it's a good idea?
Yes, indeed. Bongani, the introduction of this PMAT, it is actually a public health response. Now, the Department of Health talk to us as the Pharmacy Council and say, we are having a burden of HIV/AIDS. We need to ensure that more people are enrolled on the ARV medication. We need to achieve our target, 90-90-90. 90% of people who are HIV positive know their status. 90% of those are on ARV treatment, and 90% of those that are on ARV treatment are virally suppressed. Now, that was actually a goal for 2020. Right now, the Department of Health has what is called medium-term strategic framework, 2019 to 2024. That has moved the targets already to 95-95-95. So when you are having this kind of targets, all what you do is you look at your resources in terms of the health professionals in the country.
Yeah.
And you say, how do I utilize my health resource, healthcare practitioners in the country to respond to the healthcare burdens? And that's how PMAT came about.
What do you make of the opposition to this move? A number of doctors saying pharmacists lack the infrastructure, the equipment, the skills, the trained staff to provide what is needed to deal with this comprehensively, and a few extra courses simply won't cut it.
I would say it's just protectionism. You know, people just trying to ensure that we do not respond positively to the health needs of the country. The issue of training is nothing new about this thing. The issue of training is nothing new about this thing. We have had what we call PCDT, primary care drug therapy, where pharmacists can initiate treatment of other schedule 3 and 4, which is including antibiotics and similar. We have had family planning introduced and supplementary education to pharmacists for this. In fact, even doctors and nurses, they had to do a course for dispensing of medicine, which is an extra course for them to dispense medicines in their practices, the same as nurses. All those courses are done from the pharmacy side to supplement their education. The same way that you are supplementing the education of the pharmacist in this case. So there's nothing new in health professionals supplementing their training to have specific needs.
Are we comparing apples with apples, though? Because the doctors would argue that it's not just about the dispensing of medications. You've got to have a comprehensive history of the patient, which sometimes would include a physical examination. You've got to make an accurate diagnosis. There's so many things that are involved, particularly when it comes to even things like monitoring the patient. You've got to understand, disease and how it works. You need somebody with qualified expertise, in other words. So what you are describing perhaps is easier for doctors to do than necessarily the other way around.
I would argue that there's nothing easier. Dispensing medicines also, it is not as simple as dishing out medicine. So there is also intricacies that are involved in dispensing of medicine. But I don't want to talk about that part. Let's go back to PMAT. Now, Bongani, PMAT, the course itself, it was developed with consultation for all the people who are involved in the treatment of HIV patients in the country. This includes South African HIV Clinician Society. These are the same people who design courses for doctors to treat HIV AIDS patients. Now, these people who are experts in the field, they know what is involved. They design a course knowing what needs to be done. And they are including all the important issues that need to be there. If you look at the course, if anybody takes time to really look at the course and say, this course, as it is, does not cover A, B, and C, that is an argument we are happy to listen to. And which is the reason why, before we introduce something like this, we have 60-day comment period, which we put already in March. We don't know. People didn't even respond in March. 60 days. And then why we do that is because we need to get constructive inputs to say the course is lacking here, the course is fine here, the course is not fine there. And then these experts will then look at those and incorporate where they
fit. All right.
Because it's not an issue of us as pharmacy council just writing a course. No, it's done by the experts who do this.
All right, Mogolo Pasha, appreciate your time, President of the South African Pharmacy Council. Stay listening because we're going to hear the other side of this question.
702. Right of reply.
We're joined now by Dr. Mieke Tsimate, who's an HIV clinician and board member at the African Viral Care Society. Dr. Mate, thank you for your time this morning. You've heard the other side of the argument. You could even pose the question, perhaps, hang on, we've done this sort of thing before. Before PMAT, as it will now be known, there was NEMAT, which was, of course, the nurses that were brought in, the nurse-initiated management of antiretroviral treatment. That was huge in terms of allowing people to have access to this kind of treatment. What's so different about this?
Morning, Bogani. Thanks for the opportunity to reply. Firstly, I was actually involved in getting NEMAT off the ground. I was one of the people who was training nurses. I think the fundamental difference here, Bogani, is that doctors, nurses, and even clinical associates are clinicians. These are people who spend, in the case of doctors, 6 years, clinical associates, 4 years, primary healthcare nurses, 5 to 6 years. Learning how to take a good history from a patient, a good relevant history, having a thorough clinical examination, and in their minds coming up with a list of possible diseases, what we call a differential diagnosis. Taking that differential diagnosis, then ordering appropriate tests to answer the question, what is wrong with this patient? That is an inherent skill that all of us attain in our medical training. Pharmacists do not do that. Not at all. So to try and compare NEMAT to PMAT, they're really comparing apples to oranges. They're both fruits, but not quite the same. To respond to the issue, you know, they say they gave a 60-day comment in March to respond to this. Maybe the Pharmacy Council is forgetting, you know, that we as doctors are currently in the middle of fighting a global pandemic. Bongani, we're busy trying to save lives and trying to stay alive. So none of us are busy looking at government gadgets to say what should we be looking out for in terms of threats, possible threats to the profession, etc. So to come back and say, no, but we gave you guys 60 days. You gave us 60 days while we are busy fighting a pandemic. That's just ridiculous.
But in fairness, Dr. Matt, I mean, we're all fighting this pandemic. Obviously, you in the health space much more than the rest of us. This is the way these things are communicated. They're saying, look, ultimately, you just want to protect your turf here. They want to give as much access to as many people as possibly can get it as far as treatment is concerned. And I can think of two examples top of my head. If we think about GBV, for example, dispensing these medicines via the pharmacies allows people to have access in a way that they probably wouldn't because of the stigma attached. Men are said to be low as far as the take-up of treatment and even diagnosis. Going to a pharmacy, again, allows them to be able to gain access in a way that wouldn't necessarily be as easy with doctors' rooms. Surely, greater access is a good idea?
So let's address this. So when you're talking GBV, you're talking about post-exposure prophylaxis. So basically, that's where you give somebody ARVs for a 30-day period to prevent them getting infected.
Or even that PrEP.
You're correct. That one gun is easy enough. You're not committing somebody to lifelong treatment with a virus that's active and alive, and that if you get wrong, you may be condemning that patient to death. If you start somebody on ARVs who, for example, has latent TB, or has got abdominal TB, in other words, doesn't have the typical symptoms of TB. If you start that patient on ARVs, particularly with the ARVs that the government, that the pharmacists want to use, you will kill that patient. If you start a patient who's got cryptococcal meningitis that you are not aware of as a pharmacist, and you would not be because you're not trained to do that, you will kill that patient. So it's not about us protecting our profession. It's about us protecting the public. Now, as for the issue of men accessing pharmacies, where is the evidence? We live in an era of evidence-based medicine. Where is the evidence that if you allow pharmacists to treat HIV, men will come? If anybody can provide me that evidence, Bongani, I'm happy to have this conversation. But that has not been done. Finally, do you know, to become an HIV clinician in this country, you have to write a course called the Diploma in HIV Management from the Colleges of Medicine of South Africa. To qualify to write that exam, I need to have been a doctor either in a tertiary institution or in an HIV clinic for 6 months. And have done the 10-day HIV management course to qualify to write that exam. They're saying that pharmacists will be at my level after 160-hour course. So 7 days is all they need to get to the level that I need to do that in a year. How feasible is that?
Both sides of that debate. Appreciate your time, Dr. Myeke Tsimate, HIV clinician and board member at the African Viral Care Society. Which side of the debate do you fall on?